it helps us sort of tackle that whole question of how do you do more with less. It's about trying to look for ways to minimize overlaps or duplications of efforts, trying to sort of, in the best consultant word, leverage the resources and skills and capabilities of others, and how can you do that effectively and proactively.
Give me an example of smart power, you know, either in use right now in government or in the past, how it's been used successfully.
Certainly. Well, I think with smart power, there's a tendency to sort of look first to situations like the war in Iraq or Afghanistan as areas of clear collaboration between defense, diplomacy, and development. But one of the examples that I like to point to is the whole area of global health. I think global health is a rich area where you have a lot of different capabilities that come into play. So, for example, if we're looking at Africa and we're looking at a place where there's major public health issues and you have government actors such as the Centers for Disease Control, such as USAID, the PEPFAR actions, the Department of State from a diplomacy perspective and engagement perspective, and the U.S. military, whether it's through the U.S. Africa Command or the skills of Walter Reed. How do all of those organizations come together to understand what the programs are that they might be doing in a specific country, who the partners are that they are working with, what the challenges and obstacles that they might be running into, and how can those come together through the country team at the embassy level under the guidance of an ambassador to make sure that those resources are kind of singing the same tune or kind of going in the same direction and reinforcing one another as opposed to duplicating.
So a lot of federal managers are listening and they're interested in this concept of smart power. Perhaps it's new to them, perhaps it's not. But how do you actually go about implementing smart power? How do you make it work for your agency?
No, I think that's an excellent question, and I think that's often where the challenge is. It's how do you make it a proactive way of addressing problems rather than a reactive response? I think first it takes a matter of kind of understanding what is the problem that you're seeking to address and how are you well-positioned or perhaps less well-positioned to do it? What do you have? What do you not have? And then kind of understanding what else is out there. So it is about reaching out to other agencies. It's about gaining some insights. We recently completed a survey, and we were asking federal government employees what do they see as the challenges to interagency collaboration. And the top three responses were around interagency politics, a lack of clear interagency policy, and ineffective lines of communication. The last, and it was only sort of close behind that, was a cultural resistance to collaboration. So I think first and foremost, it's about how do you really not just at the policy and, yes, collaboration is important level, but how do you really get that down into the mid-level ranks, show folks that, no, we really value your efforts to reach out and that we within this organization will reward you for those efforts. And I think that's one of the big pieces of kind of the cultural puzzle here that despite the emphasis that we've seen on the concept of smart power over the past few years, has not quite gotten into that level of the action officer, if you will.
Now, you mentioned interagency politics as one of the barriers that people see. What is interagency politics in this case, and how do you break through that?
I think in some cases, it's, I had a federal government employee mention to me once that part of the challenge with interagency collaboration is that you're asking organizations that were developed with an explicit purpose to kind of look outside of their stovepipe, and that, you know, in any organization that can kind of be hard to do. How do you open the window? How do you open the door? And how do you sort of get past that concern that, gee, if I invite others in, will I lose control of the objective I'm trying to meet? So I think that's a big piece of what we see behind the interagency politics, a little bit of a lack of trust sometimes of, hey, can we collaborate here in this area, in this space, without it being something that kind of overwhelms the channel? And I think that's a big piece that we see around this interagency politics component.
And you also talked about problems with communication. What's the key? What's the number one thing that federal managers and employees should be doing to fix that?
ties into clear understanding on all sides of what are the rules of the road? What's the strength of my organization? What are we sort of key bringing to the table? And what are the pieces that others are going to be bringing to the table? I do a lot of work around public-private partnerships. And one of the biggest challenges that we often see in those types of engagements are what we call kind of governance and the roles and responsibilities. So if I'm not kind of communicating up front what I understand my role to be and getting a clear understanding of what you see your role to be, then kind of an effective collaboration is going to be hard to get to.
Now, part of your survey focused on humanitarian assistance, disaster relief, stabilization, reconstruction as target areas for smart power. Why do you think that is?
I think, as we alluded to a little bit earlier, those are kind of areas where it's clear cut. There's a natural inclination when you look at things such as humanitarian assistance or disaster response where you kind of intrinsically get as any agency, this is urgent, we need to move forward, we need to collaborate. So that sort of sense of urgency, I think, in some ways enables people to move past a potential lack of trust or challenges in communication to a point of we just need to get things done. But I think sometimes the results of that can then be that on the flip side of that or on the other side, once you've sort of gotten through that immediacy, is that people might look around and go, hey, was that really worth it? Did we do it as effectively as we thought we could? And that was another piece that came out during the survey was, you know, some questions around, you know, what is that quality of collaboration? Are we pleased with what the results of collaboration has been? And we saw in this year's survey a bit of struggle there.
You've been looking at this concept of smart power in government for some time now. How has it evolved over time? Are agencies moving in the right direction? Are they still really struggling?
I think it's a bit of kind of a mixed bag, if you will. I think there's, in some ways, because there has been more collaboration, people are a little bit more nuanced in terms of recognizing where it's easy and where it's difficult. I think one of the myths about smart power and interagency collaboration kind of early on was, you know, it's the right thing to do and it will be easy to do it because we'll all know it's the right thing to do. And I think what we've seen over the past couple of years is agencies recognizing the inherent challenges around collaboration, that it's not an instant cost savings, that there's a little bit of kind of an upfront investment that has to be made in terms of time and planning. I think the other piece of this has been, how do you measure the results of what you've done? And I think we're seeing an increased emphasis across the federal government about performance-based planning, about measurement. How do I know that working together gave me the benefits that I was hoping for? How do I know that it had the impact that I wanted? And that's another kind of hurdle to work through, if you will, because different agencies might have different ways of measuring success.